This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
News from the Krabby Coffee Shop is brought to you by AimHighConstructionMN.com.
Welcome to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop with your hosts, Don McLean, from Jason and Alexis in the Morning on My Talk 107.1, Garage Logic's newsman, Mr. FYI, John Haidt, and the crabbiest guy in the coffee shop, Kenny Olson.
She done?
Oh.
You know, I really should prepare some remarks for this opening segment of this show, but yeah, what the hell. I do know one thing, and my talkers, you're not going to like this. Your cat is straight up evil. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about kitty cats, and I've owned many over the years. I'm catless right now, although random barn cats show up from time to time. And then we've got a Star Wars story, but what's coming later in the show is what's really exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to everybody else. But Dawn, do this dumb cat story.
Okay.
And I read it, and I think it confirms what I've thought for many, many years.
Okay, so new research suggests that your cat is likely using sounds to keep track of you wherever you are, even if you're not in sight. So they create mental maps that track where their owner is located based on the direction of certain sounds. This was an ability that people didn't know about before this study, but we all knew it, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting because what they did is they would play like a voice of their owner in one room. And, you know, the cat would just probably keep their eyes closed, but their ears were moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would play it from another room, like...
Mm-hmm.
And then they would kind of be confused.
Right.
So they were shocked. They shocked the cats because they were confused. They heard Fluffy over here and then Fluffy in the other room. So they knew, and then they went further with it. They can hold a mental representation of the unseen owner. And I think we all knew that because you will call a cat. And
yeah.
It won't come.
No.
Because it doesn't want to.
Right.
But it knows that you've called them.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Not, they like play possum. They
right.
pretend like they're asleep, but you can see that their ears are rotating like almost 360 degrees, and they don't want to come.
No, they won't jump on your lap when you ask them to. They won't get off your lap. They won't. They literally won't do anything you want them to do except... whatever their cat, it's a cat deal.
I had a cat.
I actually had a couple of cats. Super, super annoying. Good kitties though. But both of these cats that I had, and they were both gifted to me. People had allergies or whatever. I had to take them, and you know, I'm such a good person.
Oh my! Here we go.
Anyway, Bristol, one of my cats, knew. When I was coming home, and I could hear her meowing in the kitchen before I even got close to the door, and didn't have access to a window. She couldn't see me. She couldn't hear me. But as I neared the house, I could hear her meowing, and then she wouldn't shut up for the first, 5-10 minutes that I was home. And she was meowing and rubbing up against me and being super friendly. 10 minutes later, that was out of her system. Wouldn't have anything to do with me.
Yeah. A couple years ago, I lived in an apartment here in the Twin Cities, and I had an illegal cat. I hadn't told them I had a cat.
Sure, sure.
Because I didn't want to pay the deposit.
Right.
So terrible.
Right.
But I could hear her, Nellie, crying as I got off the elevator, and I thought, oh, my God, are you doing this for every person?
Is this all day? You're
going to
give me away.
I know. I thought, does she know it's me? I hope she's not doing this for every person that comes down the hall, because then people are going to know I have a cat.
I swear it's just you. I think it's just you.
They know the rattle of our keys or whatever.
And Bristol wouldn't do it for my wife or my son. Or no, my son wasn't around when Bristol was, so it was just my wife. But no, wouldn't do it. And then we had another cat that was also gifted to us, and my son named him Ricky Carmichael. He's a dirt bike racer, okay. Motorcycle, a motocross guy, and named him Ricky Carmichael. And Ricky was the same way. He knew when we were coming home and was aloof and not friendly unless it wanted to be. And then you couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cat's full name was Nellie Olson
from Little House.
Yeah. She was sneaky and kind of mean and, you know, I loved her, but...
John, it's a well-known fact that you're a dog guy. Have you ever had cats?
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had a cat, and the one I remember specifically was named Smokey because it was all black.
Yeah.
And Smokey was, this was in the 60s, so, the cat would go outside.
I had a Smokey, John.
I think everybody did.
Okay.
He'd be outside for days, getting to fights, with sores and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Bloody.
But always find his way home. But the thing was, I was, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8, right in that age range. And he would, some days when I would come home from school or wherever I was playing, he'd stand in front of our door and just stare at me. And he wouldn't move.
Which I think scared it's
hilarious. The living hell out of me.
What is that? Where is plotting your
demise,
scanning. Right?
They're doing a scan.
It's exactly what it looked like. And it looked like if you make one more step toward this door, I'm going to rip your arm off. That's exactly what I got out of all of those encounters. I wouldn't go in sometimes. I'd just stand outside and wait for him.
You ever try the staring contest with him? You cannot win a staring contest with a stupid cat.
Impossible.
So, I mentioned barn cats. We have this barn cat. It's an orange tabby that shows up maybe once a month. Hangs out for a day or two, always meows and runs up to us and tries to get food. Skinny, bony little thing, but super friendly. I won't touch it. The roommate always pats it and gives it a little something. Well, as it turns out, we found out the barn cat belongs to a neighbor. And if you take the gravel road, it's about 2 miles to the neighbor's house. The cat travels cross country about a mile, but does this frequently. And it just disappears from the neighbor's house and shows up at our house.
Yeah, to
I don't
be
know.
Fed.
Maybe. I told the roommate, you never feed a barn cat. Keep them hungry. That way they're hunting mice, right?
Uh-huh. That's true.
So newsflash, I'm a bit of a nerd.
Yeah,
and
knew that.
A while back, I watched a dog and cat documentary on Netflix. And that cat thing you just talked about, Kenny, is insane because indoor-outdoor cats, so say you have a cat that, lives with you, but you maybe let it out once or twice a day.
Yeah.
Cats don't love confrontation. So what they will do is they go out, and they know it's because, Johnny, the neighbor cat, whatever it is, he's already out 15 minutes ahead of me, so I won't see him.
Oh.
So they basically plot everything out.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
No, I'm serious. By time and scent... And then your indoor-outdoor cat, when you let it out, by and large, it's taking the same route every dang day.
Yeah.
So it goes out.
We call that cat around.
It does the same thing.
Really? Around, yeah.
Well, that's actually pretty normal for critters, for wild critters. Raccoons do the same thing. Coyotes do the same thing on like a 50-mile loop. Once a week, they'll travel the same trails through the woods and fields. That's how people catch them. I had two cat stories from hunting this year. Early on, about a month ago, I'd say early October, I'm sitting out in a field, and I'm in a marshy area.
Ew.
And I've got it's dried up. And I'm using the grass as cover, and I've got a bunch of goose decoys out in a plowed field, and here comes a cat. And it's about 100 yards away. It sees the goose decoys, sneaks up on them. The cat crouch thing.
That's
really
hilarious.
Really slowly.
I love it.
Gets up to one of the goose decoys and puts its nose up against it, smells it, and it's like you couldn't figure out what it was. And then it went to another one, and it got closer to me and closer to me, and the wind was in my favor. And finally I said out loud, hi, how you doing? Bam! That thing was gone in a shot. The yes. funniest thing I've ever seen. And then it happened again last week. I'm in the woods in a deer stand, and same thing. This, and it was a different cat, comes creeping out of the woods, and it's hunting and looking for mice, and got close to the deer stand, and I just said, hello! And that thing took off like a rocket.
And now they're writing a manifesto.
Yeah!
They actually know each other, and the other one sent the other one out to see where you were.
Yeah. I do have a couple of real... Do we want to do sad cat stories?
Oh.
I had a cat...
John doesn't. Did you hear him?
When I was a... I think I was out of high school, but I was living at home. This white, dumb white cat shows up at our house and immediately adopts me and would not leave me alone. I'd be at the workbench. He would jump up on the workbench and then jump up on my shoulders. And I'd put him down.
Like a parrot.
Yeah. I'd toss him down on the floor. 2 seconds later, he's back on my shoulders, would not leave me alone. Well, finally, this cat disappeared, and I thought, oh, what a relief. This thing finally is gone. I don't have to deal with this very friendly cat. I don't think I named it. And a week or so later, I'm at the girlfriend's house. She lives in a dormitory type of apartment in St. Cloud, going to school there. And I had a 65 Chevy at the time, and I walk out her front door, and I see a little bit of white hanging down from under the front of my car. And I said, Tammy, you might want to go inside. I've got to do a little bit of an adult job here.
Oh, no.
Pop the hood, and there she was. Turns out cats like to crawl into warm car things.
We had that happen to a cat. Dang
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Come That's on, tough. Whitey.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? And then I have another cat story that I don't think I should tell on the air.
Okay.
But does that end our cat discussion?
Yeah, because John has a story.
The end of the cat discussion.
I was given a cat last spring.
Okay, I guess we're doing another cat story.
Yeah, we got another cat story.
Lasted a week. My mom gave me a cat. She got a cat. She decided she didn't want it. Too much work. She gave it to me. I lasted a day. Gave it back to my mom. She gave it to somebody else. So they are a pain in the ass. Yeah, kitty cats jumping up on the lamps and doing all that.
I love cats. I wish I could have one now, but it's just, you know.
But it's that stage. You need them at the laid back stage where they lay around and do nothing all day. You don't need them crawling on the lampshades.
And you can't ever pick which one isn't going to pee everywhere.
No.
That's the problem.
Choice.
I can't handle that.
I have a sad cat story, too, I guess I can pass along. When I was 20 or so, wasn't allowed to have cats. I was still living with my parents going to college.
Yeah.
Couldn't have cats. And finally, the girl I was dating talked my dad and mom into letting me get a cat. So she got me a little kitty for Christmas. You know, just
cute
a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a cute little thing. Had it for about a day, and all of a sudden it started walking into walls and couldn't stand up straight.
Uh-oh.
Well, it had some weird cat melody that... baby cats get on occasion. So after spending 3 months trying to talk my parents into this, we had to put this cat down.
You really probably had feline leukemia or something.
It was something along those lines, yes.
Thanks for bringing us down.
Yeah, there. I just wanted, well, you had a sad one, so at least she didn't end up in a car.
The two of you have lived dirty lifestyles. Have you ever...
What?
Have you ever got a cat high?
No,
me neither.
No.
Me neither.
Don't do that to an animal.
No, I would never do that. What's the Star Wars story, John?
Well, there's a fella who moved with his wife from the Washington, D.C. area down to Texas, and he brought with him his collection. 70,000 items related to Star Wars villain Darth Vader.
Just Darth?
Just Darth, yep.
Okay.
His name is Bill McBride, and he moved to the Rio Grande Valley with his wife, Rebecca. He said he started collecting Darth items when he was young and turned what he calls the Vader Vault into a serious collection about 30 years ago. He thinks, he estimated about 5 years ago, that he's spent about $270,000.
Come on.
Which was just over 60,000 items. Yes. And his collection now has grown to 70,000 items. So I guess maybe he'd put it up to, 280, 290. He's got toys, paintings. He's got unique helmets, of course. It's Darth Vader, so you have to have the helmets. And other items, he said, one item he takes particular pride in is an original stage performance helmet from George Lucas's Super Live Adventure in Japan. He said it was offered to him by a good friend of mine. He knew it was going to be a good home, so he kind of checked all the boxes off. He gave it to me. It has great sentimental value, and just because of the history behind it, it's probably worth a bit of money. His bride, unfortunately, we don't hear from in this story. I'm kind of curious what she thinks about
right,
all
neither
this.
Neither does he.
Do you guys have collections of, do you collect anything weird that, you know?
I don't.
I have a very girly thing. I collect Fiesta ware, which is a plate collections from the 70s.
That's actually quite common, Dawn. Okay.
Our entire cupboard is full of Fiesta ware. My wife also collects
it. Okay, yes. Yeah. Multicolored, every different color.
Yep.
It's a rainbow of colored plates from...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. She
yep.
loves
yeah.
them. She
and
loves
they're
them.
Worth money.
Is, yes, they are.
This nerd's Darth Vader collection, is that worth anything?
Well, $270,000, he said, as of 2015, and he says he's added another 10,000 items since then.
I'd like to clear up something I said before about cats and AIDS, because I did throw that in there, and nobody said anything, and I was kind of glad, but then I wanted to make
AIDS?
Sure that I wasn't that nobody was offended, and I wasn't making a joke about AIDS. Cats can get AIDS. There you go.
Really?
I don't even remember
feline
you saying
FIV,
that.
Feline FIV, but... yes.
It's really?
Fine, I'm used to that. Yes, they can get AIDS. So I wasn't making fun of AIDS.
Are we? We're now hearing stories about animals, particularly zoo animals, getting the COVID. Is that true?
Three lions, right? Died over the weekend.
Oh,
or
no.
Last week.
From the COVID.
Really last week. Yeah, from COVID-19. Yeah.
Huh.
As opposed to COVID-18.
I always said I draw the line. I'm okay getting COVID. I really don't want it, but I'm okay getting it. But if I give it to my kitty, that's when it's over. That's when I feel terrible.
You love your kitty.
I actually, a couple of weeks ago, I tried to get the COVID so I could get out of that down and dirty nonsense.
Oh, no.
But
well,
these stupid shots that I have, they work. It drives me crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
But back to collections. I know I've told you this before, John, but I have a buddy who had a bit of a problem with the dandy in the 80s.
What the hell is that? The dandy?
Coke. And he stopped doing blow. And we've heard about this with guys with cigarettes, right? Instead of spending, you know, the $5, $10, whatever it is per day,
sure.
They put that money aside and buy something cool with it. Well, what he did is he started buying guitars.
Oh, nice.
And now he has a room in his house, and it's a big room full of guitars, and they're
filled with cocaine.
No, he doesn't touch the blow anymore. Doesn't do the dandy. But I'm talking guitars, John, in cases stacked up,
and that are worth money.
We're talking Fender Telecasters from the 50s, 60s, 60s Strats. Rare guitars, and then he started collecting Marshalls, and evidently there's a lot of rare Marshall amps out there.
Oh, yeah, yes,
and
definitely.
He's sitting on a huge retirement.
I have a friend who shall remain nameless, who has the same thing in his house with probably 120 guitars, all of them, none of them just run-of-the-mill Strats you'd buy in a store.
Right.
All vintage stuff.
Yeah,
same thing with amps, and he calls it. He said I think he's probably 70 now, but he says this is my retirement plan.
Yeah,
anything goes wrong, I can sell one of these.
Do they
and I'm
have
good
them
for a
insured?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
I think not only are they insured, is it possible to insure something twice? Because he also is the homeowners too. But that's something we don't really talk about or think about.
Yeah.
That's his deal. So every time I love watching Antiques Roadshow, every time a guitar comes on, I'll be sitting
love
there with
it.
The roommate, and I'll say, that's like $8,750. And I'll always, and she's like, no, it's a stupid, it's a beat up, nasty old guitar from the early 70s. I know, no, you just wait. He's got the receipt, he's got the original case.
Yeah.
And it always is. These guitars are amazing. Same with same deal with firearms, old guns.
Yeah. See, now, those have value, though. Like, all that stuff has value. I want to point out, very quick math, 270,000 items for Star Wars, dude, correct?
No.
No, valued at 270.
Yes, 70,000. 70,000 items. Yeah, that, valued at 270.
That means those items average $3.85 in value apiece.
Oh, my gosh. I can't do math.
You'd have to sell it as a collection then, obviously. Yeah. I did about 15 years ago, because I'm a complete geek, started collecting some old baseball card sets. So I have three old card sets that are, well, four actually, 58, 59, 60, and 71. That are worth some money, but you know, I can't retire on it, shall we put it that way. But it took me 15 years to do it.
I have the typical story about baseball and football cards that a lot of people do. At some point when I moved out of the house in my teens, 20s, whenever it was, they all got thrown away. Yeah. And I'm thinking there had to be some Hank Aarons in there. Anyway, get on the list right now. I'm talking about Aim High Construction, MN.com. They can tackle just about any job that needs doing, from roofing, siding, decking, remodels, restorations, brand new construction, even commercial construction. Aim High Construction, they're going to help you with design consultation. If you're thinking about a new kitchen but don't know where to go, or your bath, or finally finishing off that basement, we're not talking about a bunch of half-assed knuckleheads here. They're a full-service construction company obsessed with quality craftsmanship. They're honest. They work out of Minnesota and Wisconsin. All their work and all their products are guaranteed. The calendar quite full, so if you're thinking about something, call them right now. Get on the website, aimhighconstructionmn.com. Set up a time. He can come over and give you an estimate. And as prices on materials and other things continue to drop, so does your bid. That's how it works with Aim High Construction. AimHighConstructionMN.com. Okay, McLean.
Yeah.
You were on vacation the weekend before.
Yes.
You went down to West Virginia to visit a prison. And meanwhile, while you were gone, you had sent me some video that I watched of something called the Sally House, a haunted house in Kansas. And as you know, I'm a bit cynical, and I'm like, okay, whatever, McLean. You got your gadgets and all that. But then you played the audio, and you told a little story in the video you sent me about how you had set your keys on a ledge by a window, and you heard this voice. And I portrayed it as an evil voice this morning on the Jason show.
It's a little kid's voice.
It's a little kid's voice.
It's a little girl, because that's who haunts the house.
You can clearly hear this little girl say, "Are those your keys?"
Yeah. That's a part of, you can go to my YouTube channel, which is Dawn at Dark, and listen to that. It's a three-part thing. You have to be patient.
Okay. What is wrong with you inside of you where when you hear that, and maybe you have an explanation, how do you not jump up in the air like you're Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, and your wheels start spinning, and you get the hell out of there and never go back?
Well, I don't hear it with my own ears. I'm at home when I'm listening to audio, because you listen to it back. We voice record everything we do. I have like 12 hours of audio to listen to from the penitentiary.
So in all of these cases, you never actually hear the voices.
Sometimes you hear it with your own ears.
And you said something about this Sally House that I found quite disturbing, that it could be a ghost, an evil ghost, kind of acting like a little girl?
Yeah, pretending to be a kid. Mm-hmm. The owners of that house, the Pickmans. So there was a show called Sightings. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So they went there first, back in the 80s, and they investigated this house, and they got on camera. This guy had claimed to be... He saw the little girl, the husband, and he claimed to be being scratched by her and almost pushed down the stairs and all kinds of crazy stuff. They ended up moving out.
Right.
But they went there to video it, and they got on camera scratches appearing on his stomach because he's like, "It hurts. It's hurting right now." He pulled up his shirt, and they filmed it for 9 minutes, and it appears and bleeds. Three claw marks. So that's not fun. So anyway, we went there. I've been there before. This is my third time there. So that video, there's a three-part video on my YouTube channel or my website, dawnatdark.com or dawnmclean.com. And then I just put up a video of where we just went on my YouTube channel, which is Moundsville Penitentiary.
Is our guest on the phone?
I think so, yeah.
MC, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so what I like, you're playing the Kenny role. If Kenny was coerced into doing this, you are a healthy, healthy skeptic, but yeah. You go along anyway. First, before we get to the penitentiary, what were your final thoughts on the Sally House? You buying it?
The Sally House didn't do much for me while I was there. I mean, I kind of saw the history and learned a lot about it. Kind of on my way there beforehand, I did watch that sightings episode. But overall, I mean, I thought it was a cool old place. But overall, I didn't feel like we had too much exciting things happen. I mean, you know, a few things happened, but
really sell that YouTube channel. Great.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Decide for yourself, everybody.
Were you two alone there?
Yeah.
Yep. Just us.
Do I
and
have to ask the
maybe there?
Do I have to ask the obvious question?
What is
there
it?
There we go.
Kitty.
I won't go there. Okay.
No.
Okay.
We're paying money to be there. We're not. No.
We're very professional.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that. Okay. So Sally House. Let's be done with that. What did you discover at this penitentiary? And oh my goodness, the photo. You just look at this place and you go, "Yep, haunted."
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just even coming up to the place. I mean, I've seen pictures. I mean, you know, they used it in a few TV shows and movies and things like that, but just coming around the corner and seeing this place for the first time makes you kind of lose your breath for a second. You kind of go, Jesus, look at this joint. I mean, it's like someone dropped a Gothic castle in the middle of a little blue-collar neighborhood. I mean, it really is. It's amazing.
It's 6 acres.
Yeah, it's...
Just the building itself.
Right, exactly.
I marvel at the amount of money they made to make this place look like it does, just to be a jail, to be a prison.
Yeah.
And that alone is amazing.
It was built by prisoners in 1866, right after the Civil War.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
In West Virginia.
And I think they did that on purpose. They made it look creepy and scary kind of on purpose to kind of deter, you know, unsavory behavior. So people would go by and say, yeah, you know what, I think I'm not going to do that evil, awful thing that I was thinking about. I think I'm just going to let that one slide.
So McLean sent me a bunch of pictures when she was down there of the interior. That's enough. Just the photo of a cell is enough to scare Kenny straight. I am not I'm not even doing misdemeanors, man, because this is bleak.
Shut down because of cruel and unusual punishment. It was only supposed to house like 700 to 800 prisoners, and most of the time it was filled with 3,000.
Wow.
So each 5x7 cell had three guys in it.
Yeah.
Two bunks.
Triple stacking them.
Stack. And then the one guy had to just lay on the floor on a cot or like a bedroll by the toilet.
5x7. Think about, if you can't picture that, think about a sheet of plywood, 4x8. Basically the same size. That is tiny.
You don't have to imagine in your mind. You can go to my YouTube channel, and we have pictures of the cells in the video.
And evidently, this was built back in the era in the 1800s when the entire country, everybody, hated Native Americans.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So it's in Moundsville, West Virginia, and right across the street from this prison is a real Indian burial mound that's 70 feet tall and 300 feet wide. This is BC era. So they dug into it and discovered that two chiefs were buried inside this enormous mound. The people of that, was it the Edina tribe?
Yeah, yep. It's spelled just like Edina, Minnesota.
But with an A.
But think about that. They dug into it.
They dug into it, and then not only that, they realized that the whole town that they built on top of this area, that when they started digging for the prison, they found all bones and artifacts. They're like, whatever, we'll just, who cares? And then the whole town is built, so the chiefs were there, and then anybody who died in the tribe, they would just around the mound build out. And there's several mounds in the city, but this one is so big. It's crazy. There's a museum next to it that you can go into. It's pretty fascinating.
Now, from what I understand nowadays with Indian burial mounds, and we have some up here, you can't even go clean them up. I mean, if there's trees growing out of them, you can't even cut the trees down.
Which is the way it should be.
And make it look nice. You know, you can't clean the grounds up and say, here they are, and this looks all presentable and everything. You can't touch them.
Yeah.
And
you stop construction.
This.
Right.
If anything happens,
right.
You stop
it
construction.
It kills the construction project. And and it won't go forward.
No. Right.
There's some interesting Indian burial mounds, I believe, on the east side of the river near downtown St. Paul, near the bluffs. Yeah, very close.
Okay.
That you can go visit. So. When you say that, the entire town was built on a burial ground. The whole town must be just rife with ghosts and hauntings and everything.
I would say so. I'm not sure. We haven't really, I mean, the real goal is to go into that prison. We don't really knock on doors. That would be weird. But,
it
I would think so.
Seems to be localized there, just closer to that big mound.
And it's funny because when we investigate, MC is on the paranormal team that I'm on, Twin Cities Paranormal Society, by the way. And so a bunch of us went to Moundsville because it is expensive to go to these places and rent them out for a night. You know,
private investigation, $1,099.
Yeah,
I'm on their
night.
Website right now.
So
yeah,
we went two nights in a row.
Goodness.
So, you know, and then people would cancel, and it's just like, dude, now I have to pay more. Anyway, it's funny, when we do our investigations at homes and stuff, we kind of always give each other a side eye because everyone thinks that their home has been, they say, it was built on an Indian burial ground, or I heard it was, and we're like, okay.
Yeah, every place is built on an Indian burial.
And, like, that's the only thing that, you know, haunts places, but... You know, you don't see a lot of Native American ghosts. That's what's funny. So, anyway, this is truly built on an Indian burial mound and ground, for sure. And there's all kinds of crazy stuff. This prison had riots. One of them lasted for 72 hours. They took 13 hostages that were officers. Three prisoner hostages that were snitches. They killed them right away.
Wow.
And then they made demands to the governor and said, we want these 13 things, and if you don't give them to us, every officer represents a different demand, and we will kill them one by one.
Wow.
They got all of their demands.
Good.
Their biggest demand was a new cafeteria, which I thought was kind of...
Really?
Yeah. Kind of hilarious. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, we'll give you a new place to eat. Yeah, okay.
Also had the only place that had central heating and air.
Right.
That's what they wanted, because, I mean, West Virginia gets hot and cold. Come on.
Right.
These people are freezing and, you know, going to have a
cold
heat
showers.
Stroke.
And, there's even an area in the basement where it was like a bona fide dungeon where they would shackle people up to the walls. And they'd be freezing cold down there and kind of just left to freeze to death or worse. So it's, not a fun place.
It would flood, and they'd be in standing water, chained to the wall. They also had something called a kicking Jenny, if you know what that is. It's an old-time torture device. Some of the wardens there were super, super crazy killers. They killed many prisoners. This prison has they executed a lot of people there, but it also has prisoner on prisoner death and guards killing prisoners. There are only 1,000 documented deaths, but they only started documenting them like in 1930 or something. So from 1870 or whatever until then, that's when the real torture happened. So
it's a free-for-all,
as you can imagine, it's rife with ghosts.
I just Googled, I want you to set the scene here in a second, but a kicking Jenny, an inmate is bent over a small table with his arms and legs stretched out and secured to large blocks in the floor. This skin tightened, increasing the damage from every strike of a guard's whip.
Oof.
Yeah, they use a cat of nine tails, which is like a flail, you know what I mean, like a stick with a bunch of like little
loose ends. This audience knows what a cat of nine tails is.
Yeah, but not the fun kind. Yeah. Not the fun kind.
Oh, no, Lord. What?
These are the ones that shred your skin like paper.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think that warden killed like nine prisoners or something.
Probably bragged about it in the cafeteria
the
next morning.
Yeah, they got rid of him, and then they made him like sheriff or something. It was weird.
Of course.
Yeah, so...
It's like an old Faulkner book or something. Okay, so set the scene. When do you arrive? What do you do? When do you expect action? I want to know what it's like to be on the grounds with your team. How's it go down?
Go ahead, MC.
Okay, well, we all kind of, met up beforehand, had dinner at a place where you could smoke inside.
They were really stoked about that.
Really nice. Excited about it. We walked in and they're like, we can smoke here. And, you know, if you're not a smoker, that's really great, great news.
We're like, our clothes reek.
Right. So we endured an hour and a half of that.
The non-smokers have to go stand outside. Yeah. I love it.
I was ready to turn around and just go to Wendy's, but whatever. We started through an hour and a half of that, but then we all just kind of load in. We got there. You know, we all have our nerdy equipment with us.
Yeah.
We ended up getting a tour. So you end up getting kind of a down and dirty tour, a paranormal tour, where this guy kind of walks you through some of the hot spots of the prison and kind of gives you probably more info than you really want. I mean, just some really gory, horrible, sure. horrible stories. Some things that, I mean, I don't cringe easily, but some of the stuff he was talking about that happened,
oh my gosh,
made me just go, holy Hannah. I mean, it's just like just rough stuff. And then we just kind of broke into groups and just said, hey, I'm going to go into the chapel. Hey, I'm going to go into the north block. I'm going to go here and there. And we would just kind of separate. It's a big enough prison. We had about four or five groups of like three or four each. And you couldn't really hear each of the other groups.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. So when you go and you set up to kind of sit and kind of talk into the dark, which is really what we end up doing, you don't hear anything other than our own dumb questions and voices. And and so we would just meet up after an hour, kind of, charge batteries or, you know, swap batteries out and things like that, and then just kind of say, okay, now we're going to go down to the the basement or the torture room or whatever you want to call it, the shower area or whatever, and just kind of do that for, for the duration of the night. And what's crazy is, you know, we got there at 9. By the time we were done with our tour, it was about 10:30, 11. So from 11 until about 5 in the morning, we have kind of free reign of the prison. I mean, there are some areas you can't go into, but for the most part, you're just kind of let loose in this place and to kind of do what you want. And you'd think, God, that just seems like a long time, but it flies by. It's really strange. I was thinking, God, I'm going to be super exhausted, super tired. By the time we left, I was like, oh, God, I mean, we could have probably done another couple, but, you know, it's time to go. So, it's you know, like Don said, you don't really hear a whole lot while you're there. I mean, you know, we have our meters and stuff light up, and that gets us pretty excited. But you don't necessarily hear, like, these whispers or ghosts or anything like that.
Right.
However, the second night we were near this.
You went back for more. Jesus.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were only, like, six of us, right?
Right.
Or
six
five?
Of us that stayed up. You know, maybe a half of the group was there for the second night. And Don, myself, and Neil, another guy on our team, were kind of in this area where this white supremacist gang leader was housed. And, just personally, Don was in the cell talking to this guy named Red, who was a gang leader. My friend was watching this camera, and I was kind of in between the two of them. And she's got her own stories, but while I was standing there and they were kind of talking, in between them talking back and forth, I just heard a laugh.
Oh,
like
boy.
Out loud with my naked ear. I've just kind of heard a...
Really?
Yeah, and it kind of just, I mean, I don't scare easily, but it made the, you know, the hairs on my neck just dart up and, you know, in terror. I'm like, okay.
So that...
Did you guys hear that? But
that made a believer out of you. It had to.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had something else happen earlier this year that kind of made me kind of go, well, maybe there's something to this.
Okay, I've got so many things going through my mind right now. First of all, back at the Sally house, Dawn, you talking to the ghost is just straight up creepy. That really, really bothered me.
Really?
Yeah.
She's
but
a pro.
What's that, MC?
She's a pro at it. I mean, it's like it's
she
like
is
she's talking. Like there's someone actually there talking to her.
Yeah,
there is.
And you and. You, yeah, and you play along with it like it's okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fine.
We all do it, though. He asks questions. I mean,
I do.
You know, yeah. I edit videos to feature me because it's my channel.
Right.
But, you know, we get a lot of activity from anywhere from it turning the flash, loves to turn the flashlight on and off. I'm kind of the flashlight The Mistress of the Flashlight. Ooh, that doesn't sound good at all. Strike that, reverse it.
You're a sick person.
Anyway, you can see this on my on the video I posted, by the way, Dawn at Dark, my YouTube channel, of Moundsville, because I have some cool equipment where I ordered this thing that was, it's basically registering EMF, which is electromagnetic fields. That's what the ghosts use, the magnetism and the electricity to manifest themselves. That's how we measure our ghost hunting, really. So I got this cool thing that's called a tripwire, and it has these little sensors all over it, and it looks like Christmas lights. So I'm sitting in the wheel, which is the intake, basically like the hotel, you know, the revolving door.
They had
one, but it was powered by people a long time ago in the basement, and then they finally got a motor. But anyway, so I'm sitting in the wheel, and I have those strung up all around me, and right away I'm getting flashlight activity. It's answering my questions. I'm like, turn it off. It turns off right away. You can see that on the video. Turn it back on. And then I'm begging this thing, whoever it is, to make these lights blink. Because when they're near, it'll turn different colors. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, listen, don't just turn on the flashlight, make those light up. I paid $240 for those. So please, don't just turn on the flashlight.
You're bitching at the ghost?
I'm like, listen, this flashlight is great, but can you please make it worth my while? And guess what? You'll have to watch the video.
Wow.
What a teaser.
Wow.
I was very excited, so let's just say that.
I want to address something to John. You've seen a horror movie before, right? When
NC was
describing what they do when they get there and they split up and go their own separate ways, that's the opening scene of every horror movie ever made.
Yeah, of course.
That's when the bad things start happening.
I watched Dawn's video, and you heard the voice.
Yeah.
Even you said you don't hear it live sometimes, but you hear it recorded.
Yeah.
Even at that point, if I heard it recording, I'd get up out of the room and run away because
MC,
I can't imagine what you guys are doing.
MC, when you heard that laugh, what the hell was wrong with you?
Why didn't you scream and run?
You got to run for your life.
Why not?
The whole point, I mean, that would be a wasted trip. I mean, that was the whole point of going there. We want some of this crazy stuff to happen.
Because he was recording, so.
Yeah, and so I'm like hoping that it shows up later on.
We're just a little tired right now. We don't want to listen to the audio yet.
But look.
Right, yeah, we're going to give it a month or so.
Yeah.
I think it's these repeated ghost hunting episodes that have turned you into what you are now, where you just have these visions and conversations, and you thought one weekend when MC was out of town, this ghost followed you home from a place, and you had to kick him out of the house. See, this is what's going to happen, MC. You're not going to be able to shake these. They're going to follow you home.
Well, speaking of shaking, sometimes when he's down in our basement and he is laying on the futon taking a nap in his office, he'll be woken up by somebody, something, just shaking the whole thing.
Yeah, it'll feel like someone is pressing down on the futon. Because, you know, Dawn takes a nap kind of early in the day because of her early schedule. So sometimes if I'm a little tired, I'll just head downstairs. And then I'll sometimes lay down for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, and I'll feel something, I don't know what it is, kind of pushing down on me.
Great.
And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good.
Great.
He gets up.
You brought him home. That's just great.
Well, I don't know what it is. I know that it's in there because I can feel it. And it's been, you know, I used to be able, this has happened all my life. I know when there's something in the room, but I always used to be able to just go, I'm going to sleep, leave me alone. And then not even care and just go to sleep. It has really been scary for me. And MC knows this. I have woken up in tears just like, or not gone to sleep because I'm terrified. And I don't know why it's changed. And it makes me mad. So
I know why, and so does your mom. We both know why. Get yourself to Mass. What the hell?
That's so funny because I actually went this weekend.
Yeah.
I did. I haven't been in a long time, and I was scared, and I'm like, I'm going to go to church. I have to go to church.
Okay, good.
So.
Good. So what else with the prison? What were your final, after 2 days, what did you guys conclude?
I think there's some stuff there. We had weird stuff happen. I mean, there was even a point where we weren't recording. We were just on our way back to the kind of like the main area where everyone met up, and we heard a weird dog bark, which I thought was strange because it's in the middle of the prison, and it sounded like it was right there. And then we actually played it back. This was on my friend, you know, our team member Neil's recorder, and he actually had the ability to play it back right away. And sure enough, there's this weird dog bark.
And it doesn't sound like it's coming from outside. There's
right,
an echo
yeah.
to it, like it's within the prison.
Yep.
And what's great about that, I'm sorry to jump in here, but in the lobby, they're playing a new video because there's a gift shop in a lobby to this. They sell tickets. They give tours during the day. Anybody can go and take a tour. So they have a new video playing of, you know, they had a lot of German shepherds there. They had one dog that they put up on the roof because the prisoners on the fourth floor found a way to escape through the vent system.
Sure.
So they put a dog up on the roof. And so nobody wanted to escape anymore. The prisoners from below in the yard would taunt the dog, and it would bark, bark, bark. They have video of that dog barking, and they don't have the video of this, but apparently they were throwing food up there, and the dog jumped off. So the dog died in the prison yard, and I think that's the dog.
Oh,
I think it's that dog. Yeah.
And it wasn't we didn't hear the video from where we were. We were far enough away that there was no way we were hearing that video. So it was just really this weird isolated kind of two sharp barks, and we were like, "What the hell?" You know. So yeah, so there might be a ghost dog there, but I mean there's constantly noises and stuff. I mean the place is a noisy, creaky old place. So some of that stuff obviously can be attributed to, you know, changes in temperature because there's a lot of doors open. Getting cold in the evening, so you know stuff shifts. But
you'll hear a cell door slam shut.
Yep, you'll hear footsteps where there shouldn't be, things like that. So
did you see anything?
I didn't see anything. I was hoping I'd see a shadow or something because you keep hearing about that, how you see heads poking out of cells and things like that. You know, black shadow figures. I didn't. That doesn't mean our cameras didn't catch anything. You know, because we're not just constantly watching that. We're kind of talking and just kind of letting the cameras run. So hopefully in the next month or so when we start looking at this stuff, we'll see something. But I didn't see anything kind of with my own eyes. But
and unfortunately, we did not catch this on video, but there was a session we did with in the cell of Red. Red was the head of the Aryan Brotherhood gang that MC was talking about.
Uh-oh. Yep.
Ross just gave me a thumbs up to that.
Yeah, don't worry.
So we were in there, and I had the Christmas light thing, the tripwire. I just put it all over my body, you know, and I said,
really?
Touch my hair, because he likes women, obviously. And so my meter I was holding, my K2 meter, was going all the way to Red and just staying there. And I was so excited showing the video. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, can you touch my hair? And the light that was right underneath my hair, that is the one that was lighting up a different color and just blinking. And then I'm like, touch my shoulder. And it would blink over on the other side. And then it was just lighting up all over my body.
But you didn't feel it.
No, I didn't feel it. Nope. And it was just the response I got from that session was probably the most amazing evidence I've ever encountered that I forgot to hit record on the camera. So,
we're not sure if you did it or if I screwed it up.
It doesn't matter. It's something I do all the time. I forget to hit. I'm like, oh, it's recording, but I really just shut it off.
Yeah.
But just believe me, it happened.
It was nuts. Yeah, anytime she was asking a question, not only would her meter kind of light up, mine would as well. I was maybe 3 feet away in the actual hallway because, you know, these cells are small. We don't want to pack too many people in there.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, every time she said something, this thing changed. And then it would go back to green, which is, like, normal.
Are you
so
guys...
Not like it was fluctuating. It was weird.
Are you of the opinion that if they wanted to be seen, they could? How's that work?
I don't know if it's us. Like, I don't know if it's me that I can't see them. I have blocked that ability, or if it's them. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think for the longest time, I mean, I've been investigating ghosts, I don't even want to say professionally, but like for 8 years, 10 years, kind of, I have a side group that I was doing stuff with. I felt like I was ghost repellent, honestly, because I would for years get nothing. I would sit and listen to hours and hours of audio and hear absolutely nothing other than my stupid voice and my dumb question.
For 9 years, you guys.
Right. And then, like, this summer or early this fall, some stuff happened that made me go, okay, now
yeah,
we're,
like them
we're
saying
something.
Your name on the camera.
Yeah. Which was,
you've got that?
That'll uh-huh. do it.
Yeah, I'll put that video up, too. It's actually a private residence that we investigated. I have a montage of all the EVPs, the voices that I caught on a camera, and then we have some video as well of him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm setting something up, and this thing just kind of gets close to this camera that records audio, and you just hear it say my name in the kind of this weird
really
grumble.
Close to the camera audio, like
MC,
like MC.
Get out.
It means they might as well have, but, you know, we're too dumb to notice and just stayed there anyway. But
huh.
Yeah, it was that was my first thing.
I am, this is disturbing. So have you listened to the audio? I know when you get back from one of these missions, Dawn, you spend hours and hours and hours listening and editing and isolating. Have you done that for this one yet?
I have not. It's a daunting task to look forward to. Yeah. You're like, because we also have another real investigation that isn't for fun. It's really with TCPS, and that is next weekend, right?
Yep, next Friday.
Yeah,
Good Friday.
So we already have something coming up.
Friday.
Yep. And we will have a hard deadline because the people, we do a reveal for the family. We gather our evidence. We'll have a lot to do.
refresh my memory. When we talked about this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, and you were at a private residence and you think one of these things followed you home. Was this a case where you had asked the ghosts or the spirits or whatever to leave the place? And does that work?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like I have a different opinion on that than some people.
Well, let me hear what you have to say. I want to hear both of you.
Okay, so our team does clearings. We have a spiritual advisor. He goes through and sages your house, and he does a ceremony really to ask the spirit to go to the light, essentially, and leave.
Yeah.
Or just stop bothering them, which I think is that's what's happening. He sees spirits, so that's his gift.
Right.
I personally don't believe that we have the power as human beings to do that. Controversial statement.
Right.
Sorry, team. I don't believe it because when you think about it, let's say a ghost has been around since 1820, and all of a sudden we come in and we go to the light. And they go, what light? And they turn around and go, there's a light back there. Oh, thanks a lot. I mean, it seems a little contrived to me and also not something that we have the power to do.
Right.
Well, that makes me respect this even more, the fact that as
we have different opinions.
As paranormal investigators, or we would call them ghost hunters, you have a good, healthy dose of skepticism, even though this is personally affecting your life and your sleep and everything else, and now you're home. I think that makes this more legit. John, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Because if it was just somebody, you know, lecturing us on this, it would be, you know, not as believable and probably a lot less exciting.
I would also like to add, though, that we have a great success rate. Like, rarely do people call back. We check up on people and we go, is everything okay with you? And they go, it's completely stopped. Right, MC? I mean, that's happened so many times. Yep. So who am I to say that it doesn't work? I think that just to be acknowledged and to have someone talk to them is what they want. They want you to know, I'm grandma and I'm still here watching you. And if we say, hey, Maureen, just all you need to do, don't scare your grandchild, okay? And then they stop doing it. They kind of understand if we talk to them. Or we say, just don't bother them anymore.
How am I?
Some people actually want them to stay. I mean, once they kind of get an idea of what it is and that it's not malevolent or whatever, they're like, no, that's fine. We don't need you to clear it. And I'm putting air quotes up. But
so you want your great-great aunt looking at you as you're, you know.
Oh, boy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I don't want
Well, maybe you can just, if your great-great-aunt is haunting your house, we can come in and say, don't watch them get busy. You could just go in the other room, please.
Here, as a matter of fact, in my home, we're putting plastic on the windows, and we had a big debate yesterday about whether or not we should close the shade on the laundry room where all of my clothes are and where I get dressed and undressed every day.
Yeah.
And it's a window that faces a field that nobody can see, and I'm like, you know, maybe I want the window closed. And it's like, well, nobody's ever going to be in your backyard looking at you.
You don't think so, but maybe one of those meth heads will stumble around back there.
So if I'm uncomfortable with that, the fact that a ghost might be watched, that makes me even more uncomfortable.
We've definitely had cases, right, MC?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really uncomfortable if they're watching you and they're laughing and you hear it. I mean, but hopefully that's not happening.
That was hurtful, MC.
That was hurtful. You threw a softball up, I had to hit it.
Yeah. Is that all you got to work with?
That's it. So far.
Yeah. Believe me, I'm hearing those voices in my head anyway.
It's just you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. So you've got another one planned for this weekend. It's a local residents that they have contacted you. Is that how that?
Yeah.
And how does this work, by the way? If somebody thinks that they have a haunting in their home and it's driving them crazy, what do they do?
So we have on our website, tcpsmn.org, we have like a help email address and an info email address. So either way, either of those email addresses go to everyone on our team. So we will get emails from folks that say, hey, this is happening at my house. What do I do? I need help. Some of them are pretty well structured sentence-wise and stuff like that. They'll actually make sense. Other times it's like a fever dream that people are having, and they're dropping like a one-paragraph, no punctuation message to us, and you're like, okay.
If you printed it out, it would be two full pages without punctuation. We're like, oh, boy.
No capital letters, nothing. You know what I mean? It just looks like constant typing and, you know, misspellings and stuff like that.
That might be the ghost itself.
If you want us to take you seriously, run it through a spell check.
Yeah, just maybe have someone read it back, you know. We'll look at it. We look at everything, and we have someone that kind of just responds. It's typically our team lead that will say, hey, you know what, if you're interested, give me a call and we'll discuss it. I would say 9 times out of 10, they'll drop these emails to us, we'll respond and say, hey, give us a call, and we never hear back from them.
Yeah, it's like they just wanted to tell a story or...
So we'll have that, but let's say, you know, everything checks out, they call us back, we'll actually schedule a time to go out and meet with them at their property. And, you know, just kind of talk about what's happening in a little more detail, see the place and see if it's a candidate for an investigation. We don't typically investigate, like, apartment buildings and stuff like that because there's just too much noise and stuff happening there. But, like, private residences, businesses and things like that, we can go in there and do it. And if we say, hey, yeah, you know, it sounds like we should come in and investigate, we will schedule it. We'll have a handful of us go out there. And we'll spend, 5-6 hours in the dark trying to figure out what's going on. The analogy I got when I first joined the team was, you know, if you think, wow, do you guys get stuff every single time? Well, and I can tell you from 9 years of experience, no, you sure don't. But it's like fishing in a very poorly stocked lake.
Sure.
You throw your line out, and you probably aren't going to get anything. And again, we're only there for 5 or 6 hours. A lot of these TV shows that people are watching, like on Travel Channel, they're there for weeks, and they'll get a couple of little noises and maybe a little weird figure that they see, but that's it.
It's so 2 weeks of material.
Right, yeah. Exactly. They're sifting through 2 weeks of stuff, 2 weeks of, let's face it, nothing happening, and I'm sure some of that stuff is manufactured just to keep them on the air. So then we go in, we investigate, we take our stuff back, and like Don was saying, we will sit and listen to audio recordings, we will watch our footage back, and then just see what we have, kind of bundle it together and say, here's what we found, if there is anything. We put together a full report saying, here's where we were, here are the different locations we sat in, here's what we found, and here's kind of our conclusion. Do we think there's something paranormal going on or not? We did one at an antique store in Northeast Minneapolis, and they were convinced that this place was haunted. And I was kind of the team lead on, or the lead on that investigation. And I came back. I mean, I was in full skeptic mode, but I just had to come back and say, we didn't have anything happen. And okay. This lady was not happy with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right. like angry, like I was calling her a liar. I'm like, I'm not calling you a liar. I'm saying in the time that we were there,
right.
Nothing happened. But she was just like, okay, well, hey, thanks, right. Thanks, kind of ushering me out the door. I'm
like, no, I like your analogy. It's fishing, it's hunting, it's everything I do. You know,
right.
some days it's there, and some days you just sit there and nothing happens.
Exactly.
What's that website again? Go ahead. You tell me.
TCPSMN.org.
MN.org.
Yeah. We had a better one, but a porn site got it out from under us.
Oh,
we let the domain lapse, and it was a Russian porn site for a while.
Wow.
All right.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, this has been really fascinating.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much, MC.
Oh, my pleasure.
I work at Chick-fil-A.
So I have three websites here, tcpsmn.org, Dawn at Dark on YouTube, and that's the word at, right, not the symbol at.
Yep.
And then I'm looking at you on your very own website, dawnatdark.com.
Yep. I have some EVPs on there, voices to listen to. It works best. It's supposed to be for mobile. I hate saying this, but I'm working out the kinks on that, so just look at it on a PC, and you'll be able to find more stuff.
Okay. Hit the music, Ross. Let's get out of here. I'd like to thank everybody for listening once again to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop. We actually did two news stories, but obviously the interesting stuff was Dawn and MC talking about ghosts. Again, go to tcpsmn.org.
Thanks for listening to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop. New episodes drop every week wherever you get your podcasts.